Hello, growers from around the world. Thank you for tuning into GrowCast today. Jordan River here with another episode of Grow Chat with Wolfman. That's right, Wolfman's back. He's trying to come on the podcast a little bit more. He's a busy guy, but he pops in when he can. And it's a fantastic episode. All episodes with Wolfman are definitely worth a listen. Today's is no exception. Before we jump in with the man Wolf himself, let's give some love to Humble Garden Lenses, everyone. Humblegarden.co is where you need to go. GrowCast is the promo code that gets you 15% off just for listening to this show. And our members are getting 25% off at mygrowpass.com. They get that 25% off discount of Humble Garden and many, many other products. Humble Garden Lenses. Yes, that's the smartphone filter that you pop on your smartphone's camera, and then you can take crisp, clean, balanced photos under HPS light. If you've tried taking photos under your HPS lights, comes out all yellow, comes out all weird, well, Humble Garden took the same technology that's in light correcting glasses and applied it to a smartphone filter. So now you can show off your garden the way that it was meant to be seen. You growers hate the way those yellow pictures look on your Instagram feed. Fix that with Humble Garden. Just grab a filter today. 15% off. Sorry about my chair creaking there. 15% off with promo code GROWCAST. MyGrowPass.com members getting 25% off their Humble Garden lenses. All right, everyone, let's get into the Wolfman episode. Enjoy the show. Hello, podcast listeners. Thank you for tuning into GrowCast today. I'm your host, Jordan River. Coming in hot today. How's it going, everyone? How are your grows doing? Quick, before we get started, share GrowCast. Always share GrowCast. We appreciate you spreading the show. Check out the Homegrown Helpers by Rob Smith and the Coffee Health and Science podcast as well, my other show. Today, we are GrowCasting. We are GrowChatting with the one and only Wolfman. What's up, Wolfman? It's been a minute since you've been on the cast. How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing good. Just enjoying a beautiful, beautiful sunny day.
West Coast is opening up a little bit out there. You got the weather is improving, I hear.
We get a few days of sun and then a few days of rain, so it's typical spring.
Yeah, it's like here.
But it's a little bit of sun in between the clouds. It's been raining the last couple of days, but it's nice. It's not super hot yet. You can still wear pants and not be overly hot.
You can still wear pants. How's it going in the store? Is COVID slowing you down at all? I was just in my local grocery store and they were short on a bunch of stuff that I wanted, and it seemed like it was because of the crisis.
The supply chains, just like with all supply chains, have slowed down a little bit since a good amount of products, in this industry, much like all industries, are, or made in China. There is a lack of small pots and other such things, but it's taking a little bit longer to get things. There's definitely some bits and pieces that we're short or out of, but it seems like it's just kind of the new normal. The last few years, there's always been some kind of reasoning for some kind of shortage, and
yeah,
I was thinking
true.
That this year would be a little bit different, but hey, we got our wild card.
Yeah, you got the wild card for sure. But that's the other thing in other places, we're so used to constant availability, constant wide availability, whether it comes to, food and fruits that aren't in season, just being there all the time, to every item in the grow store being stocked all the time. So I think the rest of the world is probably already used to not having that constantly. That's really interesting stuff. I got my own space going right now, man. I'm super excited. I just popped cannabis seeds for the first time. If you follow me on the show, you know that I've always grown from cuttings historically, and dude, it was so fun and easy. The Mosca seeds exploded out of their shells, like literally in 2 days exploded. We have pictures up on our, GrowCast Instagram @GrowCast, but, I'm stunned, man. I'm really excited. They just went into some Pro Mix, and I'm going to get them from that into some, super soil, and I'm off and running, man. So wish me luck, Wolfman.
That's awesome. Yeah. Popping seeds, doing something small, just going through every step that's a fun experience. I haven't done that one myself for quite a few years.
Dude, I'm a little bit nervous, to be honest. There's a lot of firsts for me. People know I had my large scale operation. I've grown tons of plants. Never sexed a plant, never grown a plant from seedling, never grown in super soil. In any meaningful fashion. So those are three firsts for me that I'm really excited to get into. And I have a 5 plant count limit. So I know I'm going to be killing some, especially because some of the seeds aren't feminized. So anyways, you listeners can look forward to updates and make sure to follow us and also get in on the Cocoa for Cannabis Grow Challenge. I joined that at cocoaforcannabis.com. I'm going to try to keep that updated as well. So really cool stuff. But yeah, we got to get into today's episode, man. We got Wolfman on the line. So we're just doing, it's kind of like a listener question meets grow chat meets I have questions. So we're just going to go down the list here and do a little old school grow chat with the Wolfman. This first question here, someone was asking about building their own tent. They said they were considering building their own tent. And if they wanted to do this, how would they go about it? And then they said, what are the biggest money savers to build yourself in a grow? So those are two different questions. I'm going to take them one at a time. I'm going to give my little overview here, Wolfman, and then you can actually tell me if you agree and what you would do. But I'm thinking about building your own grow tent. Like, first of all, grow tents have come so far. They've come down in price, and you can really get a nice grow tent for pretty cheap. But then again, my thought is, if you're going to build a space to grow in, the majority of the work is going to the store, getting the materials, coming back, making the cuts, putting it together. I think it would make more sense to do that for a larger sized tent. You know what I mean? Like 3x3 tents, you can get a 3x3 tent for like $80. I don't know how much your time is worth if you're going to be doing all those things I just mentioned. But if you're building like a really big tent, that might make more sense to work. That might make more sense because it jumps up in price and you'll probably be saving more money. So I would say if you're considering it, just go ahead and buy one if it's a small space. But if it's a big one, you're probably going to save more money through the process. Is that a fair statement, Wolfman?
Yeah, I mean, those are definitely all very valid points. There's a few others that I would make, and they do definitely go along with, you know, the points that you just made. Tents have come down drastically in price. There's a lot of different options and a lot of different companies that are making them nowadays. You know, one thing to consider is the strength of the components that are in there. So your frame, you know, definitely the bigger, thicker, stronger frames are going to be better and more durable and going to last you a lot longer. The thing about tents is they're originally were made for just ease of, you know, erecting and taking down. So if you're, you know, in an apartment or something and you're not supposed to be growing and you need to like pull an evac real quick, that's the joy of a tent. But once you get into construction stuff, granted, if you take the time and you do the planning, you can, you know, make that your walls come off and, you know, like two or three screws. So you can make it make it easily disassemblable.
Yes. I know exactly what you're saying, but saying you're already entering the realm of build a room inside a room type situation.
Yeah. I mean, when you get up to certain sizes, like I've known people that have had 10 by 10 tents and they were nice and they were worked for the spaces that they were in. But, you know, like, yeah, you have to weigh those pros and cons. Like, yeah. Do I just want to build a room? But then again, is it something where, do I want to build a room or is it something where I can just get away with doing something just quick and easy and getting a tent? And then if you're going to build a room, are you just going to use Panda film for your walls? Or do you want to spend the money and get some Mylar? Are you going to, you know, do sheetrock and paint things? So it all depends on your level of investment and whatnot.
Yeah, but that's true.
For some small tents are going to be pretty easy.
Yeah, and you're right. That is where they shine. But I don't know, man. These tents are so durable now. I can see why. And you can have all your different rooms right there. And they're really, really easy to move and stuff. I think people are intimidated by the construction process. I know I was, and I fucking did it wrong the first time I built my room. I fucked it up and I had to go back and fix it. So I think that that's why people are a little apprehensive. And again, that just kind of points to going and buying you can get a Vivisun tent very, very cheap. Again, those are probably gonna be cheaper components than like a Gorilla Grow tent, like a higher end one. But it's tough to argue with those low price points. The one thing, like I said, is you can really segregate your spaces, you know, stick them next to each other. They essentially become one as far as the layout of the room. So yeah, I don't know. That's a little bit tough. If he was going to build his own, I know you've talked about before just having like a really thin Panda film around some sort of, what would you recommend for a structure? Like, could you get a heavy duty, I don't want to say PVC, but you know, the different PEX piping and stuff like that. Would you maybe build a frame out of that? I would definitely copy the style that they do with the frame and then the slip-on cover.
I mean, I have built like walls and like, you know, like half rooms inside of garages and stuff. In essence, you're just doing, you know, framing and then stapling panda plastic to that, or using, you know, drywall and whatnot. I would probably go with a 2x4 or like a 1x, you know, all just depending all on wood, how sturdy you want to make it. Because if you go with like a PVC, something like that, you're going to have more bending. It's not as rigid. It's not going to be as sturdy.
You're right.
So I would definitely go with some kind of wood, but then that also takes in more of a permanent structure. It's like going to be a lot heavier. And, you know, if you're not familiar with, you know, using power tools, using saws, you know, that can get dangerous. You can cut your finger off, you know, you can do all kinds of things. So,
yeah, that's,
you know, that's
point.
The joy of fence, because it's just plug and play, just follow the instructions, and you know, it's like Legos for adults, kind of.
That's true. Yeah. So hopefully that didn't just add to the confusion. But yeah, you could easily put one together with 1x, or like Wolfman said, 2x4. You're already entering the realm of kind of a permanent structure, but you could certainly do that. Before we return to the Wolfman, let's give some love to Diamond Cut Co. Scissors. DiamondCutCo.com is where you need to go. Promo code GROWCAST gets you 15% off just for listening to the show. And members of MyGrowPass.com are getting 25% off their Diamond Cut Co. scissors. They were nice enough to give away 10 pairs of scissors to you listeners. That was one of our last giveaways. What a generous offering. And people are writing me saying that they love these Diamond Cut Co. scissors. They're ergonomically designed. They have fatigue-reducing innovations with their design, and their extremely sharp blades last a very, very long time, making them one of the best choices for trimming scissors on the market. Hand-trimmed, connoisseurs only. Diamond Cut Co. is made by growers for growers. And you know that your connoisseur plants deserve connoisseur tools. DiamondCutCo.com, promo code GROWCAST for 15% off. MyGrowPass.com members receiving 25% off. Let's return to Wolfman now. Going back to the second part of the question, I don't think that grow tents are a great place to save money, especially if it's a smaller one, like I said, because you can go and get one really, really cheap. I do have a couple of things that spring to mind. I'll go first, Wolfman, and then you can go and tell me what you think the biggest money savers are to build yourself. I know there were some LED lights that you can kind of put together yourself, and I think they were the Quantum Board style, which has already kind of came and went. We just had that chat on the member AMA. But I believe you can save some money there. That's interesting. But the biggest thing to pop to my mind, saving money doing it yourself, would be an aero cloner. I never used aero cloners, but I know you can. I mean, I just bought a herb aero cloner, and they're selling them for $200, you know? And you can go get yourself a Home Depot tote and a pump and some emitters and build yourself an aero cloner really, really cheaply and easily. You can find a lot of stuff online. I was going to say recipes online, a lot of instructions online on how to build your own aero cloner. I think that that might be one of the biggest, I don't know what an aero cloner even goes for, a cannabis specific one, but I bet you could save a shit ton of money building your own. What's your answer, Wolfman? And do you agree with mine?
Yeah, I've known tons and tons of people that, you know, we'll just build cloning machines or aeroponic systems. Because they, in essence, yeah, all you need is a reservoir, a pump, and a manifold, and you can build a manifold out of PVC. And all you really need is those 360 emitters. And just make sure your tote is light tight or light.
Light proof.
And then just depends if you just want to make a cloner or if you want to, you know, step it up and drill some bigger holes in that lid and do like a net pot full of like some hydroton or some kind of like, you know, high perlite soilless media.
Just fucking grow it in there.
And then just grow it in there, because that's in essence just aeroponics, excuse me. And you know, that's just a different style of growing. I wouldn't
recommend some
that.
Fucking fat roots, man. I'm in the cannabis growers resource group. They've kind of gone down a hill a little bit, but there's one grower who's in there doing exactly what you said. He has those yellow and black Home Depot totes. And I think he has two plants per tote. I want to say maybe it's just one. And he's got these fucking fat roots just hanging down out of the pots. Exactly like you described, man.
Oh, yeah, I've known lots of guys over the years that'll build bucket systems, or in essence you just take 2 5-gallon buckets and put one inside the other and have an air bubbler on, or you drill a bunch of holes in the bottom and then you just have an air bubbler or there's even like net pot lids that you can get for them. Then you just fill the pot or the net part of it with your, you know, hydroton or whatnot, and just have a bubbler in the bottom. So you just have a 5-gallon bucket just full of roots.
Fuck yeah, dude. That's awesome. So yeah, that enters the culture, that enters like the deep water culture territory, I'd say.
Yeah. So, I mean, like there's the hybrid where you do like the deep water culture where, but then you throw like an air stone in each or some kind of aerator in each pot, and you're just, you know, pumping way more oxygen into the root zone. So they just get even more happy and healthy and rock and roll.
Fucking right, dude. That oxygen key for all life. And then also in a system like this, what strikes me is, since we're just going down this road and riffing, it would be pretty easy to, if you wanted to go aquaponics, simply replace that nutrient-rich water, have an aquarium that feeds into that system. You need a solid filter, from what I understand, in between the aquarium and the plants. But wouldn't that be a good way to do a do-it-yourself aquaponic system, too, to do the totes, kind of like you said, and then link them?
Yeah, because, I mean, that's more or less, you know, depending on how crazy you want to get with your aquaponics system, you know, if you just have the complete loop where you've got your aquarium that's just pumping water through your plants and then just back and forth.
Yeah, that would be pretty easy in a system like that you described.
Yeah. I mean, the first videos I saw on YouTube of it was this, I think it was a New Zealand company or a couple in New Zealand that lived in an apartment. And they had a hot tub that was broken. So they were had fish in the hot tub, and they couldn't have rabbits. So they were doing guinea pigs. So they built a hutch over the hot tub
full of fish, and it held the guinea pigs.
Yeah, the guinea pigs would poop and the fish would eat the poop, and then they used the water to do their garden. So they had fish and then guinea pig meat and then fresh vegetables pretty regularly. So it was it was that kind of system. So it just, you know, if you're, yeah, you're just completing the system, but you know, if you wanted to spend big money, I've even seen, you know, tens of thousands of dollars units where you've got like a full wall fish tank at your house, and that through all the pumps and whatnot, I'll pump out to your fancy super big garden out back and then back and forth.
Yeah.
So just depends on
all the money.
Yeah. Your level of money and involvement or in detail of the system.
Yeah. No involvement. Exactly right. Your level of commitment, how much you want to, that's exactly right. The intent of the grow, like we've always said, but damn. Yeah. I'll work on that World Series of Poker win so I can get like the ultimate grow going. Wouldn't you love to set up a grow with fucking infinite money? Like if your budget was, you know, just absurd, more than you could ever spend, like $100,000 or whatever, just for your home grow. I would go all out. I wouldn't look to save money. I would get the most expensive, ridiculous products that, yeah, I would go top of the line if I had all the money. So we'll see. We'll see how that goes. Okay. That was good. That was a long tangent. But wait, did you have anything else to recommend? Like, as far as building yourself, thinking quickly, mixing your own soil, I guess you could save if you're doing a super soil. But even then, I mean, shit, how much is a bag of Sohum soil really? And you can reuse it.
I mean, it all depends on, you know, your regional location and what there is around, you know, way back in the day before like lights were super prevalent and inexpensive, you know, you could just go buy a capacitor, an igniter, and a core. And if you knew what you were doing, you could in essence wire
that, dude, burn my grow down if I try that.
Yeah. I mean, I don't recommend that for people that don't know what they're doing. but, you know, like that's what people used to do way back in the day.
Damn, dude, that's pretty cool though.
Yeah.
Home built grow light. That's neat. That's super neat, man. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I'd say like other ways to save money would just be to use, you know, just inexpensive salt base or, you know, soluble nutrients versus paying for someone else's water. You know, if you're on the other side of a country from, or other side of the country from where like a nutrient is made and produced, you know, obviously there's going to be a big shipping cost in there. And if it's a smaller store that sells stuff, so buying something that's a little bit more local or that doesn't have that much of a shipping cost might help save you money that way too.
Powdered nutrients, mix it yourself. That's kind of falls in the DIY category. I love that, Wolfman. That's great stuff. Yeah. Best of luck to you, listener or member. I forget. Sorry about that. Let's see here. Moving on to best or favorite setup for a small grow, a mini operation. This was submitted by a member, the powerful Bosem. And I wanted to ask you for sure, Wolfman. So there's a great product called the Armoire. again, if you are, if you have the money and you're not into building a container and you want it to look really nice, like the Armoire does, you can check that out. And I think that members even get a discount. And you can also build one of those yourself. For instance, if you want a higher one or one with, you know, like a more powerful light, whatever it is, an HID light. Although in a small space, I would be cautious of that heat. I would actually recommend going LED. But yeah, I would say really something like the Armoire is a really, really great choice. Wolfman, I know you've talked about some really funny stuff on the show before, like just having a bucket turned upside down with a light poking through the top. Like, that's mini grow right there. That's micro grow.
Yeah, I don't really remember that conversation, but yeah, I mean, that makes sense. I mean, you know, you can, I know people that'll do that with, you know, if you're depping, you want to start depping, like if you got one plant you're doing outdoor and you've got a trash can or some kind of container that's bigger than your plant and that is actually light proof, you could, you know, flip that over and in essence start depping your plant that way.
Yeah, that's not a bad idea.
Yeah.
I was just thinking different containers, like a dumpster or one of those yard waste containers that has that's metal with the lid. That would be interesting. Not really mini.
Yeah,
but
no, I remember reading like in the back of High Times when I was, you know, much younger, there was those little like, you know, everything in one little kits that you could get and was like maybe like a size of a 20-gallon drum or something that was just like got fluorescence mounted and like all the corners and all you got to do is put your plant in a little like self-contained little grow box and whatnot. So. I mean, yeah, the idea has been around for a while. I'm not familiar with the Armoire, but I mean, that sounds pretty much like just a very nice, well put together grow box.
That's exactly right. What it's really designed for is beginners, people who need the entire process laid out for them, and it's very specific. But it's a great product, and it's also a great product to kind of build out yourself if you want to do it yourself.
Nice.
But then also, what was I going to say? Oh yeah, sorry, just totally lost my train of thought and then regained it. The Micro Growers Guild. There's a great group on Facebook. I believe it's called Micro Growers Guild. So I recommend that this member and anyone else who's interested join that group because you're going to see a bunch of different really cool ideas, like a recycling can. There's a lot of cool ones. So check that out. I wanted to definitely recommend he grow the micro. Join the Micro Growers Guild. I think it's called on Facebook. Uh-huh. Pretty cool, man. Yeah.
No, I know if you know you take the opposite end of that spectrum. I know there's companies out there that are building, you know, containers ready to go, just like plug and play. Just drag them to your site, or you know, haul them to your site, and then just hook them up to a generator, hook them up to you know your main power line, and you're just ready to go.
That's smart.
So it just, you know, it all depends on, you know, your investment, what you're trying to do. Is your time worth more to you than say building if you just want to get going right away kind of thing? So it all depends on your style and what you're trying to accomplish. And
totally, I've never had that need before, so I can't speak from experience, but I have seen a lot of cool stuff online. So but definitely, yeah, check out that Facebook group. I would say there's a lot of cool stuff up there. Another listener writing, do you have experience with your plants excreting sap? Apparently he was arguing with someone that was claiming that it was cannabis oil and that he was, you know, making his plants were producing so much oil, and they tried to correct them. I don't think it went well. It never does. Yes, absolutely. Now, Wolfman, tell me what you know about that. I know that you're, you know, I mean, you're the product specialist guy. You're not exactly the plant biologist guy, but my understanding is that those are what, sugars? And if you have an excess of sugars, sometimes your plant will excrete them.
That sounds right.
My understanding.
Cause I know I've experienced, I had this one plant one time where like, I don't know, it was like a, I don't know, eighth of an inch wide, maybe like a quarter of an inch long, just blob of which looked like resin, but sap on my plant.
Right.
I want to say we've had this conversation, or I've had this conversation in a few different times.
Probably come up before, people. Yeah.
I want to say just like an over sugar. It's just, it's got too much and it's just trying to dump it all or something. But I don't know, it definitely was sweet and I enjoyed enjoyed
eating. I was going to say, didn't you eat it? You just ate it right off the plant, if I remember correctly. Couldn't help but
Why not?
Give it a taste yourself. Why not? Exactly. And I heard that it is sweet. My understanding is that it's also harmless. It's not, you know, anything your plant's showing that it's sick or anything like that. To my understanding, again, I will explore this topic further. But it is certainly not your new nutrient lineup producing extra cannabis oil. That's definitely what it's not. So you were correct there, listener. And at least now you can say that some podcast backs you up, although I'm not sure it'll help you in an internet fight.
I heard it on the internet. It's got
to
be true.
Exactly. Exactly. Someone wants us to recommend pest products. This is a bit of a recap. We've done this a few times, but I wanted to cover this again now to lay out what I'm going to be doing, because I got these seedlings going right now. So I gotta get all my shit in a line. Might as well do it here on air. So me and Wolfman have talked before. Let's just do a really broad recap, man. You got to have multiple pest products. You got to spray them preventatively, ideally, unless you're doing like a really, good IPM type thing where you have a lot of measures in line. I'm not going to be doing that. I'm not going to be having preventative predatory bugs and things like that. I'm going to be doing sprays on my plants. I'm going to be doing three different spray regimens. I'm going to be alternating them, spraying a couple times a week. And you got to alternate because pests can build resistance and it's just a really good idea to switch it up. So I'm going to tell you, Wolfman, my options now in this really, complex world full of so many different options for pest control. So got to go amazing Dr. Zymes right off the bat. And also really quickly, I need to drop this in now. I might as well. Amazing Dr. Zymes is having trouble with their promo code. If you guys are trying to use the GrowCast and member codes and it's not working, that's not your fault. That's not our fault. There's something going on their back end. They're trying to install free shipping either for the codes or site-wide or something. It's messed up the promo codes. They're working on it. It's technical difficulties. So we apologize for any delay this is causing. We usually don't. We never have problems like this with our promo codes, but they are working on it. I apologize personally if you're trying to get it. I know some people are. So stay tuned for that. I'll let you know when it gets updated. Anyways, Dr. Zymes is going to be my go-to, and that's going to be my first pest regimen. I was going to use a oil-based product as my second choice, either a Mammoth Biocontrol or a Lost Coast Plant Therapy. These are both essential oil-based pesticides, natural pesticides, that my understanding is pretty effective. Wolfman, you're a fan of Lost Coast Plant Therapy, correct?
Yeah, I do like that one a lot. I would say that's more of a alcohol base than an oil base. It does have.
Oh, it is. I thought I was. Ooh, Wolfman, no, product it's specialist.
A higher alcohol consistency than essential oil, but I'd say it is a combination of both.
I was probably misremembering it. I got to check that out.
Yeah. Whereas the mammoth biocontrol is just a bunch of different essential oils, and I know that they just reformulated it, so they've got a new version of it coming out. So it's going to be more concentrated, and then there's I want to say higher amounts of thyme oil in there, but I don't quite remember completely.
Hopefully they're perfecting it. I like that.
Yeah, so look for that in the next coming month or two. Or I think it's out now. Yeah, I think it's out now, or it's on its way out. It all depends on what you're trying to do. I do like those. That's a very good regiment. Just mix it up. You can even, just do a wetting agent. Just do a little bit of some peppermint Dr. Bronner's, like one or two drops per gallon of water, and just, do that as well.
Interesting. See, I think it's a good idea to look at your pesticides, your pest prevention sprays in categories, right? For instance, you want to look at the essential oil category. There's a couple products out there. You don't want to be using switching between three essential oil products. A, because you could be repeating some of the same active ingredients, which is basically just using the same product. And again, you run into the resistance issue and you're not switching your products up technically at that point. But more importantly, those oil-based products with their clogging of the plant stomata affects how the plant breathes. I wouldn't recommend doing that twice a week. You've heard the episodes with Mary Beth Sanchez. It takes some time to get that off. Maybe make the oil-based ones a little less prevalent compared to a Dr. Zymes, for instance. And then the other thing I was thinking is I might just do like an insect, like a safer insect soap. I know there's the 3-in-1 with sulfur, which you stand behind, and we've talked about it before on the show. But for all those listeners who haven't heard or don't remember, that's, I think, going to be my third, is just insect killing soap and water. Maybe throw in some beneficials in that one. I don't know. Yeah, but that's what I'm thinking.
Yeah, I'd be a little hesitant on the 3-in-1 just because of the sulfur. I'm a very big fan of the killing soap version. Sulfur doesn't always play well with other sprays. So if you spray sulfur, I want to say sulfur and oils don't really play well together. So you definitely want to like wait 3 to 5 days, if not a little bit longer, between spraying sulfur and oils. I believe, I could be wrong, but true? I would say I'm right on that.
Because there's the Suffoil product, Suffoil X, but maybe that's not exactly what you're talking about. That could be a poor comparison.
Yeah, I don't remember that one right off the top of my head. I'm sorry.
But yeah, I do remember the 3-in-1 is different than the regular. I'll look for the regular killing soap. That's a good point. And also, now that we're on the topic of sulfur, you don't want your plants getting hit with light after that 3-in-1 spray, right? Won't it cause some burning from the light?
Also, with sulfur is definitely, it can be phototoxic. So you definitely want your plants to dry off before they get in the hot part of the day. So, you know, spray like, you know, dusk. Dusk would probably be better with sulfur. That way it's got, you know, a good long time.
Plenty of time, yeah.
To dry, and then it will, you know, it'll dry as a powder on your leaves, and that's okay. But you just don't want it to be like oversaturated. Also with oils and stuff too, you know, that's another thing. You don't want, like with all sprays, you don't want to spray in the hot part of the day. You want to spray either, you know, in the real early in the morning before the sun's up or the lights kick on, or, you know, towards the end of the night.
Yeah, that makes perfect sense. Yeah, that's weird about the sulfur, though. And I don't think a lot of people... Yeah, you got to pay attention to that sort of thing, man. Yeah, so that's that is a good overview there. That's my three. My three. I wouldn't recommend doing anything fucking chemically toxic. Your weird pylons and avids, the avermectin, all that craziness. Stay away from that. I would even say stay away from the neem oils. I know this is a more kind of controversial subject, but with all the weirdness out there about neem and with all the new products that are, you know, really safer, you know, your enzyme products, your essential oil products, why go to the neem is kind of my thing. I'm sure used responsibly, it's fine. But I don't know. If you ask me, I would recommend you just choose some of the other products that we just mentioned, your Suffoil X's, your Lost Coast Plant Therapies, your Mammoth Biocontrols, your Amazing Dr. Zymes, of course. Again, stay tuned for that fixed promo code, and your Safer Insect Soap. That's a good lineup, man. I'm not sure you need anything more than that.
Yeah. No, that's definitely good ones. I'm going to disagree with the neem. Definitely different brands of neem, the higher quality neems, the azadactrin type products, the neem gold, I think, is a good one. Those are going to be easier to use products, a little bit safer to use. Neem always scares people because it is like super thick and people just oversaturate their plants with it. And, you know, you should be using a little bit of a wetting agent or a little bit of a spreader sticker. But used in the right times.
Use responsibly, I'm sure. That's what I said. I did say that.
I agree with that. But yeah, I think neem is a good one. But yes, used responsibly. It's
definitely effective. I'll tell you that.
I agree with that.
I don't want to start a whole fire here. So please, listeners, don't write me angrily. I'm not taking a stance on this. I am merely stating the fact that some people link neem to the hyperemesis syndrome. And so people are worried about that. And I also say the fact is we really don't know what the hyperemesis syndrome is yet. So again, please don't write me angrily. I'm not taking one side or the other. And Rob Smith, in fact, has more concrete opinions on this than I do. But that is specifically one of the things I was referring to with the neem products, is people worry about that barfing CHS stuff.
Gotcha. I was not aware of those things.
So yeah, it seems to be very, very rare, but it is a real thing. So I don't know. We'll see, man. We'll absolutely see how this goes. Quick honorable mention. Someone's asking about growing food in growing food at home. I think a lot of people are getting into gardening at home. I want to do a whole episode, actually. Maybe I'll get Mary Beth on, or like a Rizo Rich, or because I'm getting hooked, Wolfman. I've got the lettuce going. I've got the celery going. I am all about this. Like, I totally understand the getting addicted to plants thing that Ed Rosenthal talked about now. Because like when I was growing pot, of course you're growing it and you love the plant and everything. But like, no, I'm hooked now. I won't throw away a stump of lettuce. I transplant it instead, and it starts growing so fucking fast. It's dope, man.
Oh yeah, everything wants to live. A little bit of care, a little bit of food. I mean, things will thrive.
Nice, man. Are you going to be doing any gardening? Like outdoor gardening, yeah, veggie gardening?
The wifey's definitely doing more of it. But we've got some collard greens and some chard and some lettuce going right now, and we're going to do some peppers and some tomatoes. And as soon as I can find some artichokes and asparagus, I want to start getting those going, because those take a little bit to really get established and really produce.
Right. I want to do I'm getting into the food science. I want to do an episode on growing vegetables and incorporating vegetables getting into vegetables as a cannabis grower, sort of. And then I also want to do an episode on capsaicin for pest control. I've heard of people using spicy things. You know, capsaicin is the chemical that makes spicy food spicy. I've heard that it has pest control properties. I want to do a whole episode, or at least partial, on that. So stay tuned, listeners.
That'd be fun.
Yeah, buddy. Wolfman, thank you for doing this today. Do appreciate you. I know you're crazy busy out there, man.
Oh, yeah. No, it's always a pleasure to take some time and, do this for the listeners.
Get on the cast, man. Of course. We'll have you back soon. Everyone listening at Growcast, at Jordan River IG, send us your questions. Send Wolfman questions if you got questions about products, stuff like that. Wolfman will answer through me vicariously. If you have questions for Dr. Coco, we got, I believe the next episode after this one is Ask Dr. Coco. If you want to dive into the science of cannabis, send me your question. Send Dr. Coco your question. Do it up, folks. That's all. This is Jordan River and Wolfman signing off, wishing you an excellent day out there. Stay healthy. Stay safe out there. I mean, Wolfman saying.
And grow smarter.
All right, bye. That's all for Growcast today, folks. Thank you for tuning in. Thank you for being subscribed. Thank you for rating and reviewing. I know I say it at the beginning of every episode, but I do mean it. It helps us when you make sure you're subscribed, you give us a good rating, you give us a good review. We see these reviews and we really do appreciate them. I got a message recently saying that the listener appreciates all the time that we've taken to do the podcast, and that he knows there's a lot going on behind the scenes to make it a reality, and it helps him get through the workday. That's what we love to hear, you guys, and we appreciate you guys when you send us these messages, when you leave good reviews on the show on iTunes or whatever you listen on. It is huge for us, so I do appreciate that, and I do encourage you, listeners, if you enjoy Growcast, let us know. Give us a good rating and review. And don't forget the Homegrown Helpers and the Coffee Health and Science podcast, too, of course. Shout out to IllinoisCannaConsulting.com for all your Midwest consulting needs and beyond. Illinois Cannabis Consulting, let's get growing. Shout out to Jay Blank for doing the beat. That's all for today. Thank you all so much. I hope you're doing amazing things in your garden. Stay healthy. Stay safe out there. We'll see you next time. Bye-bye.